Today on Radio Free Galisteo, we are speaking with Matthew Higginbotham, who is a Santa Fe-based artist and who has a show coming up on July 30th, and it'll run through the 22nd of August. Where is that happening, Matthew?
So it's going to be at Worrell Gallery. It's off the plaza, 103 Washington Street. You can't really miss it. It's just right on the corner of Palace and Washington Street. Yeah.
Matthew, I've interviewed you a couple times before, and when we first met, you were, I guess, almost exclusively a landscape artist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which you had described as representational, and of course, with our beautiful sunsets and landscapes and the paintings of the Bosque that I'm familiar with that you've done. I mean, you had a great deal of success, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it all changed.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And we talked about that kind of transition for you at one point.
Yeah,
and
right.
You'd gone into more abstract.
What I was doing and how I described it to you was, you know, breaking up the line and going into more of an elementary place in art. And I was doing that mainly with pond reflection pieces. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it started for me, because reflections of water offered up so much material to explore that concept and the vibration that happens when you break up the line and you change how it's reorganized. So yeah, as I was exploring that, that just started to lead into more and more things. And then my father died. Mm. That was a big moment. It was 2020. It wasn't COVID related, it was old age, but it was in July, end of July. And actually it was during my show last year at Worrell, which I had to leave. I wasn't able to be there for the opening. So it was just an intensive time. Here I was presenting all of this newer work. It wasn't the work that I'm doing now, but it was going in that direction, more abstract, but talk about that in a bit. Well, after coming back from that show, you know, and after it came down, and then 2021 came, I really started to assess the direction I was going creatively. And so, I'm kind of going into the whole story here.
Sure, please.
And so, yeah, it was just this process, the metaphorical block that an artist deals with. I never really experienced that until after my dad died and until 2021 hit. And I was in my studio. I just wasn't really motivated to paint the images that I was familiar with. And I was pulling out a lot of the work, looking at it, what worked, what didn't work, what I liked, what I didn't like. And then I started to explore just seeing landscapes as more shapes and blocks of color. And actually there was an artist, French artist, Nicolas Destille, which I really love. And I was exploring his work at the time. And he was kind of going in that direction. So I was just experimenting with that. And actually I opened up my studio door and started painting outside. And long story short, I started doing studies of more abstracted landscapes in geometric shapes of colors. And again, back to that line concept, seeing landscapes as line, but those lines are formed in blocks of shapes. And I'm organizing those sort of like puzzle pieces and creating an image. But it's not, I don't want it to just be technical. I want it, you know, to tell a story. Mm. And also it to be emotional and have some feeling to it, because that's the world I came from, is creating landscapes that had a lot of feeling to them and spirit and presence. And so I wanted to create that too. This work tends to be a little more two-dimensional, more color field. And I always, a lot of my work was about depth of field. I wanted to explore that in this newer style. And I feel that that's what's kind of going on, yeah, with this newer stuff. So it's, yeah, there's just, this transformation is pretty big. It's basically going to more abstraction, which I'm really loving it. The larger size paintings are really working also with this newer approach.
As I'm looking at some of the examples here on your card. It really is a big step. Certainly from the initial stuff you were doing, but even the interim when you were working on those pond reflections to this, you've really broken it down even further into its elemental bits.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. It's kind of taking what the information that's sort of necessary in landscapes or whatever subject I'm actually getting into, buffalo and wildlife and still lives and structures. It's taking the information that's important to me and blowing it up and making it essential. Before I painted, you know, I added a lot of information in my paintings. There was so much going on. Because I was more of a kinetic painter in the past. So the paintings were quicker. There was so much going on. It was also palette knife. And so there was so much information going on. Here it's a little bit more controlled, but there's also freedom and a looseness a part of it. The other thing, too, about this newer stuff, it's about the movement. So even though I call this more color field and more two-dimensional, what was really a part of my work, earlier work, was movement. And I definitely want to bring that into this newer stuff, too. And so that the shapes, and so what I'm doing is organizing the shapes in a way that creates movement, whether it's in clouds or it's the shadows on the church paintings that I've done or the buffalo going across a prairie. The sense of movement is really important to me.
Again, watching your progression, I mean, this is really the first time that, well, last year I did see some structures appear in some of your works, which was a big change from what you had been doing. And certainly now with the wildlife in it, you've really kind of, you've branched out. And I'm really taken with the way you've captured both the structures and, for example, the buffalo, which you mentioned, because as abstract as they really are alive. They're really there.
Yeah, it is an interesting dynamic. You have these blocks of color that are arranged, but there's movement involved there. And that's the challenge of it all, of how to create a painting that's structured, but it's also, there's an aliveness about it and movement and an energy. So it's kind of playing with all of those parts.
You mentioned the steel as an influence in this new iteration of your work. How did you come upon him?
That's an interesting story. Well, I consider him a mentor. Woody Gwynn, a local Santa Fe artist, really well known in the country, if not really globally, for his landscapes. Even though we are different in style, I just have always loved his approach and his discipline and his professionalism and just who he is as an artist. Well, he, out of the decency of his heart, he went and saw one of my shows and called me afterwards, and he told me that my work reminded him of the French painter de Steele. And I didn't know too much about Nicolai at all, so I checked him out, and I was blown away. He had really connected me to an artist whose work was kind of in the direction I was going. So it was more like a prophetic referring me to him. And so that was really cool how it all worked out. And so, I'm really thankful to Woody.
You're listening to Radio Free Galisteo's interview with Santa Fe-based artist Matthew Higginbotham. You can support Radio Free Galisteo by going to www.radiofreegalisteo.com and clicking through on our Patreon support button. Now back to the interview. Who else has influenced this work?
Some of the other artists, I liked their work in the past, but now they've kind of become more of the forefront. But Richard Diepenkorn, his work, the California painter, is on how he organized landscapes, mainly cityscapes. And then Wayne Thiebaud, who has influenced my work. It's, again, just how to arrange shapes that are dynamic. And that's all a part of it.
You mentioned your father's death is sort of a turning point for you, actually a stopping point, it sounded like, for a bit, and then movement from then on. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, my dad was a really strong supporter of my art, and from the day one, he was an architect. You know, he marched along with the 9-to-5 job. He started his own business. And I was a bit of a misfit. You know, I just went a different direction. He knew that. I was the only son in the family. You know, he was sort of thinking I was going to take over the business. Well, that didn't happen. I was going a different route. But he'd supported that to the end. And so I really respected that. I respected his opinion and his support in my art. And then after his death, I felt, you know, I just felt kind of his presence with me, and that he would honor any decision, anything, any direction, even if it was a major change that I would take. And so I guess I was just kind of calling to him. And I feel like he was, you know, he's part of this transition. He was always wanting, he loved abstract work, actually. And, you know, in architecture, of course, he loved abstract architecture and buildings and very contemporary style. And, you know, I maybe in some ways I've explored that in this newer stuff as well. So, yeah, it's somewhat architectural. You know, there is a bit of a construction part of it. Mm. Okay, back to the deeper part of it. You know, it was like I kind of came to a cliff of sorts, and I knew I just had to jump off into an unknown. And I was ready to just experience something entirely different, whatever that was in my work. Rather than painting the same old for the security of things, for the galleries, is to etch out my own path. And I that would be okay. You know, that I guess the old adage, the universe will provide. And the response so far has been really great, you know.
It's funny how often that expression comes up during my interviews.
Yeah.
So, the artist's journey is one where you take those chances and you take mm-hmm. that either road not taken or less taken, and see where it brings you. And clearly this is bringing you into a new space and an exciting one, certainly in my humble opinion. Seems to be a real change in your palette.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Actually, it wasn't just the changing of the work itself. It was changing my whole process. I had palette tape, actually a window pane, a double pane window that actually used as a palette. That was pretty big. And I had that to the side. Now it's in front of me and it's a smaller palette surface. I also brought in different colors. I always avoided black because I just didn't want to use it. I am bringing that in more. I'm also changing the color of surface I paint on. It's black gesso because I can read the colors better. So that's changed. Also, the type of canvas I use is a smoother canvas that works better for my brush. And I am painting mainly more brush. I was doing palette knife before, and it's more brush now. And I love getting back to the brush. There's actually a real meditation part of it that's really nice. Kind of goes along with the rhythm of the painting. And then going from block to block is kind of, you know, it sounds really structured, but it is not. It's there's a lot of looseness in the whole process, even though it's...
Well, that's what fascinates me about this discussion. You really talk about structure and how important that is. And then I look at the work and I'm like, wow, that...
Yeah.
That's really...
Yeah, it's...
But then when you the deeper you look into it, you go, okay, yeah, okay, aha, that's what he means.
Yeah, and you know, the work, the earlier work, there was an impressionistic part of it, a big part of it too, even though the images were recognizable. It was, you know, you'd stand back and you'd sort of see things come together and colors come together. This work does, it's similar, but they're larger blocks. So I want the painting to be interesting up close as well as, you know, back a little bit of a distance. So it's impressionism, but in a very different way. So yeah, it's just making. I like the fact that this isn't particularly derivative of anyone, even though there's been influences that have led to this direction. But it's something that I wanted to create that's original and that's exciting. And so, yeah, I mean, there's going to be growth and evolution in my process for sure into the future with this newer stuff too. But, you know, I'd like to bring people along, you know, who've known my earlier work. And this show is going to be that.
If any of our listeners would like to take a look prior to, or if they would like to take a look online, how would they do that? Where would they go?
Well, there are two places. Worrell Gallery has a combination of my earlier work and the newer work. You can go to my website and click Outside the Frame, my solo show for this year.
Okay.
And that'll show you all of the paintings.
And your site is?
It's MatthewHiggenbotham.com.
Okay. And the other one you mentioned is WorrellGallery.com, and that's WORRELL Gallery.com. And your site is?
MatthewHiggenbotham. Higgin Botham, yeah.
.com. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Folks, go there, give that a good look, and then head down to the Worrell Gallery just off the plaza starting July 30th.
5 to 7.
Okay.
Yes.
Any final thoughts, Matthew, as we wind up?
Thanks a lot, John. It's so cool to be doing this radio program in Galisteo, and it sounds like it's really becoming quite a success. And it's so great to be a part of the early days of that.
Well, thanks, Matthew, and it's a pleasure having you here, and we look forward to having you back again.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to Santa Fe-based artist Matthew Higginbotham. His show is at the Worrell Gallery starting on July 30th and running through August 22nd. For Radio Free Galisteo, I'm John Shannon. Radio Free Galisteo is listener-supported radio. You can go to our Patreon support button on www.radiofreegalisteo.com and become an active supporter of this podcast. For Radio Free Galisteo, I'm John Shannon.